Hey everyone, happy holidays and welcome into the show. You're here on Break of the Norm. I'm your host, Les Norman. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving and that you're looking for a fantastic Christmas holiday season coming up. It's great to have you with us today, and I know the season's greetings will want to be forwarded by the amazing folks at truckmovers.com. It's a truck or a fleet of thousands. It's used equipment or finished vehicles right off the factory floor. Truckmovers.com has the capacity to get it done safely and efficiently, and this is a big time of year. There's a lot of stuff going on across country and even around the world if you're shipping trucks. They're the industry leaders in the technology and web services that track your vehicle online and get the real-time reports, the metrics, keeping you informed. So for a free quote, call truckmovers.com at 816-861-5444 or visit truckmovers.com today, because nobody moves more trucks and nobody moves them better than truckmovers.com. So, a few weeks ago, it is one of the highlights of my year. It used to be at the end of January, but now we've moved it to November, beginning of November, and the weather's a little bit better. And this year, for the whole week, we didn't have a cloud in the sky. The first 2 days in Arizona, it was 90, and then the last 5 days, it was like 78, 79, 78, 78, maybe an 80 mixed in there. But regardless, it was Royals Fantasy Camp, and what that means for me, I know it's a lot of people love the Royals and going down to Fantasy Camp, and I love being a coach, and this year was kind of an interim director, just kind of helping out running the show a little bit with my bride, Kristen. But one of the best things for me is it's my one time a year I finally get to catch up with a guy that is a friend. He was a mentor for my brief 2 years that I spent in a Royals uniform, but I get to see this guy again, and man, he just keeps getting better and better. The slider and fastball probably aren't as good, but it's still great to see him. Mark Gubiza is back with us today. You might hear him if you're a baseball fan like I am. During the season, I'm always up late catching the West Coast game. I'm a big fan of the Angels. He's a color analyst for the Angels on Bally Sports West, and he just does an incredible job, man. I mean, this dude, he was such a great pitcher for the Royals, Royals Hall of Fame pitcher. He was a great teammate, a great mentor for me. So Mark Gubiza is joining us. Gooby, man, you're taking some time. The holidays are coming up. Appreciate you being here. How you doing, brother?
Les, man, what's going on, dude? I'll tell you what, I had a blast with you. You and Chris did an unbelievable job down there at Royals Fantasy Camp.
Thank you, brother.
I still, every time I see everybody, you know, all the baseball fans out there from Kansas City and even from wherever else they came. We had some people from Boston, all over the place, coming from even from Orange County, going out to Royals Fantasy Camp and seeing ex-teammates like yourself. And it feels, you know, it's so, I'm sure you feel the same way. It's so wild, as if when you start talking to each other, as if we were still in the locker room together like 20, 30 years ago. So it's still pretty cool to be able to reminisce and tell some good stories.
It is. You know, seeing you when you walked in, I was at the end of the hallway when you walked in, and we had texted and talked and, you know, getting all the arrangements done, and it was great to have you out. I know your schedule is so busy, and thanks to your bride, man, for always sharing you, and tell her thank you, and we just love her. Love to see her again, too, but you know, you open the door and there you are. I'm like, Gooby, what's up, dude? And Big Les. And, you know, it literally was within seconds. Like, we had just walked into the clubhouse back in the mid-90s and we were together back then. And I so appreciate that fact. And then you getting in the clubhouse, you hadn't seen Vitiello in how long?
Oh, I'm telling you, I was telling my wife Lisa that I think it might have been the mid-90s.
Yeah.
The last time. So you're talking close to 30 years ago, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And immediately we're just start laughing at each other too. I mean, that the cool thing is too, Les, you get to hang out with guys you were teammates with, but then, you know, to build friendships with a guy like Alex Gordon and Mark Tian and guys like that you never played with, but you feel like because you're all part of that one big Royal family that you were teammates at one point or another. So just laughing with those guys and having a good time, and the campers have such a blast. I mean, and the weather, like you mentioned, was perfect, and just a good time. I mean, I think it's still one of the coolest things. I always tell the stories about the thing where you basically get about 4 seconds sleep, because even if you think you're sneaking back into your room at some point, you run into a camper before long, you're just having a good old time telling stories with those, you know, campers too. So it's a blast. And I'll tell you what, a lot of them have some pretty good skills still out there on the baseball field, considered how it isn't easy. Everyone thinks, oh, baseball, just swing a bat, run around the bases. You're using different parts of your body at such quick motions that inevitably everyone's sore by the first or second day, and certainly by the time they leave, they're like, oh, man, this is pretty tough.
Yeah, no doubt. And you were down there for it. You were there. This is my first, a fantasy camp first. Thursday evening was a free night. You didn't have a game the second day, and there was our very first fantasy camp wedding down there, and you were a part of that as well. The Hurricane, you know, Larry Van Zant and Angela, his new bride, got married down there in a beautiful sunset ceremony, but it was great for you to come out for that, and it's like you always see something new, man, every year when you think you've seen it all, right?
Oh, you know, believe me, Les, I think we were just telling that story to a couple family members we had over for Thanksgiving, and a few other people we were just out of this playing, you know, tennis with and pickleball with the other day, the same thing, like, we actually saw a wedding at fantasy camp. I mean, that's, I guess that would be the ultimate fantasy at the fantasy camp is seeing a wedding there. But that was really, really cool. So, like I said, I mean, we had a blast. I mean, the weather was perfect, the conditions. And this, you know what it is, if you see a guy like Amos Otis, who he was there my first big league camp in 1983.
Wow.
And he's still, hey, Gobi, I'm like, I can't believe, because, you know, when I see Amos Otis, I'm always, how you doing, Mr. Otis? I mean, I for me, he's a legend, and always will be a legend. But this the way everyone just has a blast and talks to each other. Willie Wilson, you know, of course, George. I mean, and of course, Sween Dog was there just before we're heading out. Every day is a perfectly sunny day with him, man. I've never seen anybody so happy every day. That I always joke. I go, is it ever rainy around you, or is the cloud just move when you walk by and just laughs every time? It's so great.
Oh, man. In his head and in his heart, it has never rained. They've never had a hurricane inside of Mike Sweeney. That's a great description of him. So, Gooby, you mentioned Thanksgiving, man. Did you have some family and friends come to your house? Do you stay home for Thanksgiving? Do you travel? What do you do?
Yeah, we usually stay home. Usually, Les, we always have, I think, about 15, 16 family members over, but it's getting a little bit different now with my daughter, my son-in-law. You know, we figure we got to split up one of the holidays here. So I'm such a Christmas fanatic. I said, all right, you can go up to his house for Thanksgiving, taking the twin girls up there. So they went up there. My son was out with his girlfriend. They went back to Minnesota for their family. So, and my youngest daughter was here and a few other people. So we still had Thanksgiving at our house. It wasn't quite as big. But, you know, you have to make those trade-offs when, you know, when the family gets a little bit bigger with even more, you know, added on family members. So, you know, I always, if I had to make a little bet or at least try to figure out a way which of the holidays I want, I mean, I blame it all on my mom. She was a fanatic with Christmas. So
yeah.
I already had my house. I had my house actually decorated before Thanksgiving. I shouldn't say that, but everything was already out way
Clark
before
Griswold,
that.
Man. That a boy.
Yeah. Yes.
I see you working. So you talk about being thankful Thanksgiving. I mean, this is weird for me because, you know, you mentioned, you know, your first big league camp in was it 83? I mean, you know, just to let you know a little bit of context here, I was in eighth grade that year in 83.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I was like 10 years old then at that point.
I was wondering if you were going to hang up on me or not on that part of it. But no, but still, I had the honor of at least growing up finally and being a teammate of yours. And, man, I tell you what, we had that back left corner of the locker room, man. I wouldn't have survived without just getting your advice. Like, hey, when it's time to talk, you talk, but that's rare. You know, listen, learn, work hard, be ready if you're not playing. So, man, I thanked you a million times. I'll thank you a million more. Thanks so much for that. But I want to say this, you know, time flies, as we all know, and you're a grandpa now. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's so cool. I tell you what, the girls, They crack me up every day, you know, just seeing, you know, as they continue to grow. Because the best thing about being a grandparent is, you know, we always say it's almost like you have to play option play in football. Like either you pass or you hand it off. So it's the best because you could have fun all day long and say, okay, mom and dad, here's your turn. So before, you know how it is when the kids are like, it's 24/7. So, but they're, it's just a blast just to be able to see their smile. I'm still shocked that I'm a grandparent right now, but time goes. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, the things you learn as a parent, and then obviously you learn from your own parents and stuff like that, and grandparents, you just try to instill those good traditions and values to, you know, the kids. You can tell. I mean, when you're able to do that, be around and showing them a lot of love, that they're running over and hugging you and stuff like that. So
yeah.
You see them. But that's the greatest feeling in the world when they're running. As soon as you open up a door, they run over to you. and so give you cool. hugs. That's been great.
Grandpa Gooby, still weird, but awesome, man. I love it. All right, well, we're going to switch this to the baseball conversation because usually I do this around February, right before spring training, but I got to do it now just because I'm really, really jonesing for some baseball this year. Fantasy camp and that beautiful weather got me back into it. I couldn't be a coach as much being a director this year, but, man, so unbelievably excited this year. So before we do that, I want to run down for our listeners. You know, again, we get old. The next generation comes in. But everybody still knows Mark Gubiza here in the KC Metro and all over baseball. But I want people to understand what you have brought to this city. I mean, you're Royals Hall of Famer. You pitched from 84 to 96 in a Royals uniform, and then you had that 1 year with the Angels in 97. You and I were joking a little bit on text. You were second rounder of the 81 draft out of William Penn Charter School. I mean, you had offers and looks from Alabama, Georgia, Duke, USC, but you enter the draft. How in the world? I know it's Wikipedia, so that's not, you know, they're not accurate. But they have famous alumni of Jesse Waters on Fox News. You got the quarterback Matt Ryan, Adam Goldberg. My kids used to love when they were little watching the Goldbergs. Ruben Amaral Jr. How in the world is Mark Gubiza not listed? I am going to go in there. I'm going to edit that and talk to the people at Wikipedia. You ought to be first on that famous alumni list at William Penn Charter School.
I still think it comes down to two reasons. One, they probably still can't spell my last name. And two, they can't pronounce it. So they might as well they just move on to somebody with a little easier name to be able to
Goldberg, Amaro, Waters, and Ryan. And Gubiza. Yeah, okay. Exactly. That's fair.
Well, I'll tell you what, the weird, crazy story about that last two is I remember this. Here I am, you know, graduating grade school back in Philly area.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden my dad goes, hey, you're going to go to William Penn Charter School. I go, no, I'm not. I'm not going there. I said, that's way out of my league. I can't fit in there. So he goes, all right. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to run away. So he goes up and gives me a suitcase, and I pack all whatever, you know, clothes I had, which were mainly all these hand-me-down clothes. So I put it in my suitcase. I walked about a block. I go, all right, I'm not going. So I came back in there. So I go to the school there, and I look in there, and everyone's got, you know, nice pants, and they got collared shirts, like polo shirts, and I never owned one of them my entire life. So I'm walking around, I'm like, man, I don't fit in here. But immediately, one of the kids said, hey, why don't you come over after school and hang out at my house and just get to know everybody here. So I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So it took a little bit of time to get comfortable. But I firmly believe if I didn't go to the school there, I don't think I'd be where I'm at right now. Just because of the environment where even my best buddies, because we had like 17 of us hanging out at the schoolyard.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a tough little area. But, you know, going there different than my brothers all went. Two went to, you know, Central High School in Philly, and the other went to LaSalle High School. So we all kind of went to different schools in the high school level. But going there, It forced me to, and I mean, I was a decent student, not a great student, but I was just doing 2 hours of homework every single night.
Wow.
And my play, and the school at that point required you to play two sports, and I was going to do that anyhow, so I was able to play football, basketball, and baseball there. And, you know, it kept you from, you know, putting yourself in bad positions after school. So schoolwork, sports, and then fitting in an environment where you're not overly comfortable in, allow me to, you know, be the person I am right now, I firmly believe. I mean, I was raised great by my mom and dad. Three older brothers were really, really good, too. But just being in a different, uncomfortable environment for me allowed me to, you know, make those next steps.
So your dad pitched for the White Sox a little bit, coached at Villanova a little bit. Three older brothers, I mean, it seems like there's a good recipe there. You mentioned how, you know, great mom and dad, they brought you up well. So you go to a school where you have to play two sports. You got to do a lot of homework and able to stay eligible and survive and thrive. I mean, is all this combination of all those things where all of your work ethic came from? Because I remember walking in to spring training the first time. It was in 94, and I didn't get to the big leagues till 95. But in 94, I came in just as a non-roster invite. I was in AAA. Hey, come over here, get a taste, see what it is. And I remember walking in the clubhouse, and I had to go see Nick Schwartz, who was the trainer. And the first thing I see is you in like a tank top and shorts on that flipping VersaClimber. And I had to be just getting after it, just beating the sweat, just beating your body up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that guy's flipping huge. I mean, I knew who you were, but I'm like, holy cow, that dude's a monster. And I had to, like, go through my physical and fill out a bunch of forms. And 45 minutes later, I walk out of the trainer's office, and there you are, still keeping pace on that VersaClimber, still just flipping, getting after it. I'm like, is that what it takes to be in the big leagues? Because I might pass out just watching him work out. So from what I knew of our 2 years together as teammates, your work ethic was unbelievable. So where did all that come from? Did that start in high school? Was that a little kid? Was that from dad, mom? Where did it come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really came, you know, watching, you know, first of all, knowing my dad, every day he was a mailman. So he was, you know, he goes in and gets up at whatever time it was, 6:37, and walked the whole route. Nowadays, you see the mailman, they're able to drive up their little car and drop the mail in the mailbox. Well, he had to walk everything going up and downstairs and row homes and dogs and weather brutal back in Philly.
Yeah.
And never complained. So, and I remember the one thing he told me, he goes, whatever it is, there's going to be players in whatever you do, or even business world, they're going to be better than you, smarter than you, more athletic than you, bigger than you, everything. But no one will ever outwork you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was like from when I was like 7, 8 years old. So
yeah.
I think I got that work ethic from him and even, you know, and competing against 3 older brothers. I mean, that's the hardest thing in the world because they're physically bigger and stronger and smarter than you, but I was trying to keep up with them all the way through. And one brother's 7 years old, the other's, you know, 5 years, the other's in my closest one about 2 years older than me, but just competing against them, even playing tackle football in the house and having my mom go, what are you guys doing? But there's the competitive juices, but I still remember, and even to this day, as I prepare every day for, you know, the game telecast with the Angels, I'm never going to be outworked by anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, I always feel that if I was the thing that really bugged me less is when I used to hear, well, I changed my workout program. I'm doing this or that during the wintertime. I want to, you know, I'm eating better. I'm going to do this or that to be better this year. My theory always was you should have been doing that all along.
Yeah.
You should have never been outworked by anybody because, you know, it's not like, you know, we have to go, you know, you have to go, if you're a doctor, just keep, you know, reading every single medical book out there to get better and to save more lives. Our job as an athlete is to be prepared physically
yeah.
and mentally. And if you're not that, then you're not ready to play. And then you can make excuses. Well, I didn't do this because I wasn't ready or I was tired. Well, in my mind, you never should be. You just got to work hard, extremely hard every day. And you saw that in like when I was playing. And I continue basically the same, that same workout routines now just to make sure I live long enough to be able to watch my grandkids have kids themselves. So that's my
yes.
goal in life now.
Well, I mean, you look great when you came into fantasy camp. You know, obviously, you still look like you're in great shape. And, you know, I understand that when I played, you know, I had the 2 years in, and I was not 6'3". I did not have the talent and size and everything that a Bo Jackson had. I mean, nobody else does, but because he's Bo Jackson. But, you know, the point is I wasn't going to hit 25 home runs in the big leagues, and there was a limited amount of things that I could do. But I know that just to get to the big leagues for those 2 seasons as a backup player, I had to give everything I had. And you know what? I'm good with that. I'm good with the fact that that was my role for a short time, but I know that if I had not outworked everybody – with the smaller size that I had, I would not have been able even to have that little bit of a taste of it and to be able to enjoy the mentorship and the teammate person in a guy like you, Mark Gubza. So, yeah, man, I get that, and thanks for sharing that. So, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I want to get in more into the baseball side of things where, you know, I want to talk about Shohei, man. I want to talk about where this dude's ending up. I want to talk about that machine in Anaheim that I feel like for years has been ready to bust and come out, and it hasn't yet. But, I mean, when you got Trout and Ohtani and a lot of these guys, I want to talk about that. A little bit about your opinion on the Royals. It's a lot to get in the next segment. But, yeah, I'm going to come back. You good for one more segment?
Oh, man, for you, man, anything for you, Les, man. After especially – how great of a job you did down there in Fantasy Camp too, and a great teammate. Anything for you, man.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thanks, man. Your wife must have given you permission to say that. Maybe, I don't know, but regardless of that, Mark Gubas is our guest. He's a 2-time All-Star in 88 and 89. He was third in Cy Young voting in 88, where he went 20-8 with a 2.70 ERA, 36 games started, 183 strikeouts, and only over 36 games started, only 83 walks. That's barely, it's just over 2 walks per game. That is amazing. So we're going to play a little trivia when we come back in our next segment. Some Gooby in the record books. We're going to have a little fun with him, and because he's still on a lot of those top 10 records for Royals all time. Records, and we're just going to get into the baseball side of things. So make sure you stay right there for more with Royals Hall of Famer Mark Gubiza and Bally Sports West. He is the analyst for the Angels games out there on the West Coast, back home in California, or at least back home from where he lives, originally from Philly area, but now in California. I want to thank First Federal Bank of Kansas City, who has been a partner with us, just a loyal, faithful partner, knowing that you're spending today thinking about tomorrow. It's the expanded home. It's the renovation. It's even teaching your family, your kids, about budgets and saving money. Buying, building, improving a home, all that takes know-how, and my friends at First Federal Bank of Kansas City can help. It's what they do best in helping you know, man. It's unbelievable what they can do. So visit them at ffbkc.com or call 816-241-7800. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, all over social media. First Federal Bank of Kansas City, you're better together. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Break of the Norm. Glad you're with us today. Break of the Norm presented by Community Financial Services Group. Understanding that if you're like most of us and all the complexities to the financial landscape that each year brings, it's crazy. I don't get it all, but I don't need to get it all, because with more than 30 years of investment industry experience, Community Financial Services Group can help you do it all. Call 816-322-2760 for a comprehensive review. Community Financial Services Group is teamwork that you can bank on. And a big thank you to my friends at Perfect Game Midwest. You can reach out to them on Twitter and Instagram at PG Midwest. PerfectGameMidwest.org is the place to go. 913-543-6116. If you've got a high school softballer or baseballer and you're looking to have them in front of pro and collegiate scouting over the summer, and you're in this metro area, even though they're national, visit PG Midwest, PerfectGameMidwest.org, for more information on how they can get that little bit of get ahead of the game and some great tournaments that foster sportsmanship, fair play, all that good stuff. Perfect Game Midwest. Mark Gubiza is our guest, Royals Hall of Famer, pitched for the Royals from 84 to 96, 2-time All-Star. And from a 6-year period, he won 84 games from 84 to 89. He was a World Series champion in 85. He's the Angels color analyst on Bally Sports West. All right, Gooby, I said this, man. We're gonna play some trivia here. Where do you rank on this list? Okay, so for the Royals all-time records in pitching, you have 132 wins. Where do you rank on that list all-time for the Royals?
I think it's third.
Nicely done. I'm good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, my two mentors are ahead of me, whereas the late great Paul Splittorff and my all-time favorite, Dennis Leo Leonard, which is one of the greats to be able to see down there in fantasy camp, too. I mean, Leo was probably running away from me again this time, because I used to wear him out, talk to him all day long. So I still do it when I see him down here in fantasy camp, too. He was my guy, that's for sure.
All right, well, then let's jump to complete games, because you have 42 complete games. Dennis Leonard leads that category with 103. So you had 42 career. Where does that rank you on the top 10 list?
I'm going to go with fourth.
Not bad, but it's seventh.
Seventh.
It's seventh. You got some bumps in there.
A little bit too much.
That's, no, you're all right. Okay, what about games pitched, 382?
Because it's tougher because of relievers and stuff. So imagine Quiz and Monty. I'm probably about fifth, maybe in that.
Not bad. Seventh again. Not bad. All right, we're going to do two more. We've got a few more, but let's just leave it two more. Maybe three. We'll see. All right, innings pitched with 2,218.2. Where do you rank?
Third.
Second. See? You jumped up. Yeah. All right. Strikeouts, 1,366 career strikeouts with the Royals. Where do you rank?
Second behind Ape.
Second behind Bobby. Yes, Ape, big Ape. All right, let's do game started. I'm just going to say this, 327. You rank second on that list. Shutouts was 16. You rank third. All right, last category, batters faced, 9,457. That's a lot.
Oh, I know. I had a lot of walks in my game too, so I would probably jump up there pretty good. I'm going to go with splitting Leo or probably still ahead, maybe third.
Second, brother. You're in there in second place. That a baby.
I'll tell you one thing. I know for sure I'm first in walks.
I didn't bring that up, man. I did not bring those categories up for a reason. There's some categories we don't need to lead in, but, you know, if you do, you
do.
But
that made sure it was an uncomfortable at bat for batters when they get in the batter's box.
There you go. They knew they were in for a battle, man. And Gooby was not going to give in, man. You made enough guys chase, though, so that's okay. All right, so you're the Angels color analyst. Man, I got to be honest, as a guy in the media, I'm jealous of that position for being in California, for not just being the analyst, but being in California and getting to do it for the Angels. I mean, my goodness. Tell me, you got to see him, probably not in the future, but for a number of years now, you got to see guys like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani play every day. Can you describe what that's like?
Yeah, Les, we'll start with Shohei first, because just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case. I remember, and I kid you not, the first day I was in, this is in 2018, his first day in Major League Camp, coming over from Japan, and this watching him throw, I went in there, watched him throw his bullpen session, and then watch his batting practice session out on the field. And I'm looking and going, wow, this is not real. This the sound off the bat was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just the pop of the mitt on the mound, and his consistency throwing the baseball. And granted, it's never easy when you leave your home city or hometown to go even to spring training in Florida or Arizona, let alone go from Japan to America. So
everything around the world.
Baseball size was different. I'll never forget, and I won't mention their names, but a number of these big, more baseball writers, baseball experts, watching him because his numbers in spring training, at least for a majority of his first spring training, from on the hitting side to the pitching side, were not good.
Yeah.
And I remember them saying, boy, this guy's barely an A-ball player. I don't understand all the hype. I said, take a little bit of time and watch his preparation, watch his bullpen session, watch his batting practice sessions. And they immediately go, what does that matter? That's not game scenario. That's not game situation. I said, again, he just came over from Japan. He's still a kid. Just watch these things before you make your assessment saying that you don't think he's going to be that good of a player. Then boom, fast forward. These last 3 years, no one's ever done this.
Right.
And I hate to ever, it's tough to make a comparison to him, and everyone does, him and Babe Ruth. But when you look at the numbers Babe put together when he was doing both, it's not a comparison. Now, Babe ended up being, he's the best player ever.
Yeah.
And we can make arguments in this and that about Babe. But when you think about 1 year he hit 60 home runs where teams itself didn't hit 60 home runs.
Right.
And he had one of the best winning percentages in ERA as a pitcher in World Series history. So all those things together make him Babe. But when you look at what Shohei did, these last 3 years, it's mind-boggling. Now, he won Rookie of the Year. He won, he put some other great numbers together from 18 and, obviously 19 in pitch. 20 was a weird year, period. But then you go 21, 22, 23, what he has done is absolutely incredible. And I even go back to a game last year, he goes out, there was a one-hit shutout against the Tigers in Comerica Park in Detroit. There's no way. He never completed a game in the major league. There's no way he's playing game two. No way. And then what he did, first at bat, I was joking around because I was doing the game at Matthew Scourge. I'm thinking, well, his arm's probably finally falling out because he probably iced his elbow and shoulder. Maybe the next at bat, something might be special. I didn't know he was going to do this. It hits a home run to left field, so an opposite field home run. Next at bat, it's a home run to right field. I'm like, this dude ain't human. How do you hit two home runs after pitching a shutout game one and this dominate swing in the batting game, too. I mean, he played pretty much until the very end when he hurt his oblique muscle. He played pretty much every game.
Yeah.
And the numbers he was able to put up were, even talking to our former teammate David Cohn, I go, we couldn't even move the day after we pitched, let alone hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, hitting 450 feet. So
turning on it.
We joke a lot about it when we do put the games together. We're going to be like that voice that you hear 100 years down the road when people talk about Shohei Ohtani. Like, we talk about Babe Ruth. We didn't really necessarily see him, but we know him because of all the, you see some of the, video of him, even though it's not the greatest video. But now, people in the future are going to see and hear, what Shohei was able to accomplish. So that part is really fun to be able to look back and think, okay, we were part of history. What he has done the last 3 years, 2 times a unanimous MVP. That's never happened before, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. Then I look over and start talking about my boy Mike Trout, and we've been friends. We grew up not too far from the area he grew up.
Big Philly guys.
He took me a number of Eagle games and stuff. And for at least 8 to 10 years, the comparison with him and people like Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Ricky Henderson, all-time greats. I mean, but I always just think of him in the way we have conversations, like me and you were talking right now, and I don't, it's tough to really just to sit back and say, wow, this guy is arguably one of the all-time great, great players. And we did that when we see George Brett out there at fantasy camp, and you see him a lot more all the time in Kansas City, and we were teammates. I was teammates with him for 10 years. Everyone always go, who's the most comparable player to Mike Trout? And I said he's a combination of George Brett and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
And, being there to seeing those guys perform at that level, George Brett, the baseball player, the phenomenal player. Bo Jackson, the wow factor, the athlete. That's why I always say that's Mike Trout. You put those two guys together, and that's Mike Trout. I mean, there's other great players. Believe me, there's a lot of great players right now, but for me to compare somebody, I couldn't compare just to one person. I compared it to the two people that I most admired and was completely going wow all the time was George Brett and Bo Jackson. To me, that's Mike Trout. And the way he goes about his business, somebody said, well, he can't hit high fastball. And then the next year, boom, he's hitting high fastballs or not swinging it high fastballs. His defensive metrics out in center field aren't that great. The next thing you know, he's a Gold Glove finalist. Anytime anybody pushed him, it's like the great ones like George, or I say like Kobe Bryant, because being out here for a number of years, when people say Kobe couldn't shoot, the next thing you know, I saw one game going to a Laker game, he's shooting about 1,000 shots after the game. So that's the kind of player Kobe was, and that's the player that Mike Trout is. Anytime, like, that's why I fully expect him to have an unreal season coming up in 24, because people go, when is he going to be able to play a full season? Well, you know what? You keep pushing a star like this, he's going to put together an MVP-type season coming forward.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's being on the athlete side of it, even though I'm in the media now, and like you, we were athletes before we were members of the media, and so we understand this a little bit, but a lot of people don't understand that. And the Angels have taken a lot of heat among writers and in the public in baseball because, well, you've got Shohei and you've got Trout and they've got a little bit of a supporting cast. They should win more. I mean, what doesn't the public understand? Because, I mean, this game is hard, and just because you have good talent, I've seen Yankees teams with decent talent win World Series, but I've also seen Yankees teams where they just brought out the Brinks truck of about 10 different banks, and that still wasn't enough to get them a World Series championship. So what don't people understand about how hard this game is, and about just because you have talent, it doesn't always mean that it's guaranteed a World Series.
Yeah, that's the thing. So often we go, why don't you let Shohei go, or why don't you trade Trout, give him a chance to win? Well, those guys, first of all, they love playing for the Angels. They love being in Orange County and in Anaheim area. And, the weather, you talked about it before, they never have rain delays. You never have to worry about that for 81 games a year. Health. And when you think about, even last year's team, at one point they're 11, 12 games over 500. Actually, at one point right there at the top of the division, they had 9 position players out on the injury list.
That's incredible.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, it is.
Third base, Rendon. Shortstop, you know, you had Gio Urshela early on, then you had Zach Neto, a great young player, then he got hurt. You had Brandon Drury at second base, he had a phenomenal year. He was out twice on the IL. You had Jared Walsh, who just before spring, you know, the start of the season, went on the IL with a lot of other issues going on, and then you have a Nolan Schoenewell coming up, who only had 37 games in the minor leagues. He was just drafted out of college, performing in the big leagues. You know, you had a Hoppy behind the plate, a great young catcher, hurt his shoulder, non-throwing shoulder on a swing mm-hmm. in April. It was out for 4 months.
Yeah.
You have Trout out for a couple months. You had Taylor Ward get hit with a pitch in the face, and Toronto was out for the last 2 months of the year. I mean, it's hard to win when you're not healthy. Now, is it luck or whatever it is, you know how it is. If no matter who you are, no matter how well prepared you are to perform and go out there on a daily basis in a baseball schedule where it's 162 games, and you mentioned, you know, sometimes the weather's not great, there's, you know, to travel, all those things, and it's such a long season, sometimes injuries happen. They've been unfortunate with that, and there's no excuse for that because everyone deals with injuries. But when you have that many guys out, and then, you know, it's tough to overcome that. So as good as those two players are, you need everybody around you. You just can't just – when you look at teams that have been great over this period of time, the Houston Astros, whatever people say about them, I watch them on a daily basis. They are a well-oiled machine,
and
they win. You know, they have a really good farm system. You know, granted, it's a little bit on the lighter side right now. They don't have as many prospects now because they're all up in the big leagues. You have to develop. That's why we were so good forever with the Royals.
Yep.
I mean, we had John Schirrholz, who started as a minor league farm director. Next to me, you know, he's our general manager. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. When you have players and pitchers, especially when you have a deep farm system with a lot of arms, so you can make trades or pitchers because inevitably there's going to be some sore arms or missing time. You keep bringing that factory of arms up there. I mean, and then you have a chance to win. Then you have, you know, the way you play the game. Like the Angels forever under Mike Socha was, you know, Socha brand of baseball. You're going first or third. You know, you're willing to, you know, give yourself up to get a guy over from second base, get somebody in, stealing bases, catching every baseball that's hit, pitching and attacking the strike zone. That was a pretty consistent team for a long time. And then, you know, so, you know, moved on. He was there for 18 years. It's been, you know, there's been a few different managers coming through the turnstiles here lately. But they're going in the right direction right now because Perry Manassian, their GM, who I'm sure you remember back, he was a clubhouse kid back in
That's crazy.
Texas with his dad, Zach.
Crazy.
He was a clubhouse guy. So he's, you know, when you come from a scouting background to being around the game like he has, you just feel at some point they're going in the right direction. I think when you see some of the younger players they've brought up, even though a lot of them jump from Double A to big leagues, well, Saves and I did the same exact thing with the Royals, and it worked out pretty good doing what they did in Kansas City. You identify your talent, and you try to supplement players around there and keep having that factory going in the minor leagues for when things go awry, whether it's some injuries or not. That's why you look at I always look at, because Kansas City, the Royals are my family still.
Yes.
And, you know, when they were really, really good, when they go back-to-back World Series, you look at the players, they had a lot of young guys, they supplement them around with some veterans in there to get them to the World Series and eventually win it in 15. Well, then all of a sudden now you have all these real good young arms they brought up, but you still need, a veteran player around, a veteran pitcher or position players to kind of mentor those guys around. Like I mentioned, I had Larry Gora, I had Quiz, and all these amazing players, George, Hal, Willie, Frank, all those guys were around to make position players better, pitchers better. You need those guys around you to supplement and get those young guys to play at that next level because, you know, it's such a, you know, it's a grind. And it's tough to be successful every day when somebody tells you you should be tired. And, well, my mind says, I mean, my body says I'm not, but then my mind starts playing tricks. That's why, going back to Shohei, that's why I don't think there would ever be another player like Shohei, because every day, Les, I kid you not, reporters go up, are you tired? He goes, nope, I just want to win. And boom, they leave. How else do you ask a second question, a follow-up question, when all you would say, nope, I just want to win.
Yeah.
If you're tired or not. So he played. So it's a mentality of being around the right people to get you to that next level. And I think going back to why the Angels have not been successful, it's going to have to be finding a way to keep these guys on the field and being healthy and getting back to that mindset, we will never accept not winning games.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't win for a while, I know that we had that in KC, when you don't win for a while, you're kind of like, oh, well, we lost. Well, it used to be we come in, if you lose a game, you're mad. You're slamming something.
Heck
down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like losing. So you got to get back to that mentality that I don't want to ever lose a game. And, I mean, everybody goes, well, there's 162 games. It's a marathon. Well, you know what? That day, I'm going to do everything I need to do. I'm going to fight to make sure we win that day. And if you don't, I'm not going to be happy about it because the next day I'm going to go out and be even better.
Yeah, you talk about a marathon. Even a marathon starts with the first mile. I want to run the first mile well. And then and then when I'm done with that one, regardless, I want to run the second mile well. So, yeah, I mean – I think I could ask you about the Kansas City question, but I think you answered it really well right there. There has to be that winning culture. They got to rebuild the farm system, and they had some pitchers that there was some health issues as well. So they're in the process. They're building a new stadium. But regardless of all that, that's a whole other show that we could try to figure that stuff out. But, Gooby, it has been great to catch up with you both in fantasy camp, but especially here. I know you got plans coming up for the holidays, so thank you for taking the time away from your family. Please tell your bride, Lisa, thank you for sharing you with us today, because anytime you say yes to us, you're saying no to her and your kiddos and your grandkiddos, Grandpa Gooby. So thanks, man. I'll always cherish the brief time I got to be with you for a couple of years as a teammate. But I still get to hear you, and not just because I favor you as a great mentor and friend, but, man, you do a great job out there with those Angels games, man. I love Gooby Tuesdays. I love hearing your take on plays that happen in front of you. You bring so much to the game. The Angels are lucky to have you. California's lucky to have you, and we are definitely lucky to have had you here on the show today, man. So thank you so much for being here, buddy.
I appreciate it, Les. You do a tremendous job. Sorry for talking so much.
No.
But you know what? You're a teammate, a friend, and I, you know, once I get excited about that, I can't stop talking. You know how that goes.
That the best shows are when I don't have to say very much. I just transition into the next expert opinion that you're going to give. Well, listen, man, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Have a great holiday season. Enjoy that family, man, and we'll catch up with you after the first of the year, my friend.
You got it. Merry Christmas, my friend.
All right, Merry Christmas. That's Mark Gooby, a Royals Hall of Famer. And if you love baseball, you can catch him as the color analyst for the Anaheim Angels. Make sure you check him out, man. He is one of the best color guys in the game. I love listening to his stuff to the point where sometimes I forget, oh, yeah, by the way, we played together in Kansas City back in the mid-90s, but that's just how much he really brings the game to life. Great to see him at Fantasy Camp as well. So stay right there for our final segment. We will tie this whole thing up shortly. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Breaking the Norm. Hey, everyone. Welcome back into Breaking the Norm for our final segment. I'm your host, Les Norman. A huge thank you to Royals Hall of Fame pitcher Mark Gubiza, now the color analyst for Bally Sports West, for the covering the Anaheim Angels as the color guy, really bringing it to life out there. Man, what an honor to have somebody like Gooby being the color analyst, and those quick little interviews on Gooby Tuesdays, those are fantastic. And he's really active on social media. You can just follow him at Mark Gubiza, and that last name, G-U-B-I-C-Z-A. G-U-B-I-C-Z-A, at Mark Gubiza on Twitter. Really active on there, really an Angels guy, but still a Royals guy at heart as well. You know, of his 14-year career, 13 of them with the Kansas City Royals in that last year, 97, with the Anaheim Angels. So, again, Royals Hall of Famer, great to have him on. Great dude, great clubhouse guy, great mentor of mine. And as you can hear, if you go back and you listen to that, it's kind of similar. You have... You know, we didn't have a Mike Trout and a Shohei Ohtani in Kansas City, but you still have talent. It was only 2015. It was only 8 years ago, and when next season starts in 24, it'll have been 9 years since they won the World Series. But goodness gracious, man, there's a lot of teams and there's a lot of great talent out there. You're not going to win it every year, and when San Francisco won 3 out of 5 years, I mean, that's lightning in a bottle, and I know the Yankees have been good too, but you know, you're talking bigger markets, but still. Royals fans, you deserve a winner as well. And when you've got guys hurt and you're rebuilding, that happens. So just hang in there. Be patient. I know you talk about being patient from 85 to 15. It was 30 years. But goodness gracious, man, it's going to happen again. But when there's new ownership and a new stadium coming in, if you're really a loyal Royals fan, You just got to hang in there with them while they rebuild and get the right puzzle pieces in place, and they will. You just got to get healthy. So my thanks to Mark Gubisa for all he has done and just helping me. Even in my brief career, without that 2 years in Kansas City as an outfielder, even as a backup player, I would not be able to do what I do in every single platform of my life, from TV and radio and podcasting and public speaking and all the things that I do, consulting, coaching, you name it. Wouldn't happen without that time, and Mark Gubisa was one of those guys that helped make it bearable where I didn't trip over my own shoelaces and my own 2 feet. So, Gooby, we love you, man. Thank you so much. If you want to find out more about the show, go to lesnorman.com. Follow me on Twitter at lnorman22. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. les@lesnorman.com. So, until next time, I am your host, as always, Les Norman. Thanks for joining us today on Breaking the Norm.